Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Radha
Madhava Kunja Bihari
Thank you. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki. ISKCON BVT founder Acharya is divine Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Gaudi Vaishnavbrinda ki. Nama Acharya Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami ki. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Samakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki. Vrindavan Mathura Dham ki, Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki, Jagannathpuri Dham ki, Jai, Alachaniya Ramaniti Dham ki, Jai, Ganga Maiya Jamuna Maiya ki, Jai, Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani ki, Parinam Sankirtan ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Class ki, Jai, Samavata Vaishnavinda ki, Jai, Hitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. We're speaking Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 2021 in Alachua. So with the blessing of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, we're going to begin to serve Srila Prabhupada's translation and commentary. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritam Naran Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayesu Avadresu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki. So text 20. Jammana se matuleyam. Priyam Mitram Suritamam Akora Sachibi Akora Sachibam Dutam Sori Sori Dad Atha Sarathim Jammana Se Matuleyam Priyam Mitram Sohitamam. These three words, Priyam Mitram Sohitamam, is the key point in this verse. Krishna tasting these three rasa. So when we recite, we can also feel that presence. Akara Sachibam Dutam. Suhridad Athasarathim Jammana Se Matuleyam Priyam Mitram Suritamam Akaro Sachibam Dutam Suhridad Athasarathim Sarathim. Please chant. Jammana se matuleyam. Akaro sachibam dutam. Sridhatat sarathim. Jamanase Matuleyam
Priyam Mitram
Suhritamam
Aparo
Sachidam Dutam Suridad Atasaratim Jamanase Matuleyam Priyam Mitram Suritamam Akaro Sachivam Dutam Sardar Akasaratim Mother Jamanase Matuleyam Priyam Mitram Suritamam Akaro Sachivam Dutam Saridatasaritim Jamanase Matuleyam Priyam Mitram Suritamam Akaro Sachivam Dutam Saridatasaritim Jamanase Matuleyam Priyam Mitra Suritamam Akarotsa Shitam Dutam Jam, the person. Manase, you think. Matuleyam, maternal cousin. Priyam, very dear. Mitram, friend. Suritamam, ardent well-wisher. Akora, executed. Sachivam, counsel. Dutam, messenger. Suridat, by goodwill, atha, thereupon, sarathim, charioteer. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O King, that personality whom, out of ignorance only, you thought to be maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Can somebody refresh my memory? Who is speaking to who? Bhishmadev is speaking to? Who? Specific. Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yes, Pandavas, that's true. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is the one who is conversing. Heading there. Very good. Thank you. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc. of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of His causeless mercy and favor upon His unalloyed devotees, He performs all kinds of service, but that does not mean that He has changed His position as the absolute person. To think of Him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. The next verse we'll do together. Sarvatmana samadrisho hi adhyana ankikritay tatkritam mati vishammam niravaddasya na kachit. Translation. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone. He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever He does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Srila Prabhupada's beautiful purport. Because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. Because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except himself. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of his energy. And thus, he is present everywhere by his energy, being non-different from it. It's interesting. Because I made a little question this morning. Srila Prabhupada, to me, it's like a very fascinating purport he gives. Question is that when we talk about Krishna being omnipresent, does that refer to his presence as his energy? Like here in the purport, Prabhupada put, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, that's also impersonalists promote that. And that everything is Brahman, or is Krishna present as a super soul, or Krishna as a Bhagavan, everywhere personally? This is just a curious question. So I found some reference from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's point, just to elaborate, because here Prabhupada is saying he is in the Brahman. So I'll come back to the purport after we understand this. If the super soul is present in the atom, andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham, Prabhupada quote that verse also from Brahma Sanghita. He says that andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. So Krishna is in the atom. What about in between atom? Is he also in between atom or only in the atom? Thank you. He's in between also. And is the super soul present there entirely the same as the super soul present in our hearts? Because he already said this before, but then in 15:15, Krishna is not only 15:15, other places in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is filled, he is repeating that I am also in your heart. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto. Matta smriti gena apahanam cha. What is the need? If he is everywhere, what is the need for him to say, I am also in your heart? You already said you are everywhere. That includes heart, or heart is not in everything. So, there's a very nice way Srila Prabhupada's purport I found in 1515. That Krishna is a super soul. There are two distinct aspects of the manifestation of super soul. Everywhere and in all hearts, including my hearts, your hearts. The Lord Krishna has many etymological meaning. One of them is Vishnu, one who pervades everything. Sarvatra vapnati iti Vishnu. You know the Raslila last verse, Vikriditam Brajabodhubi idam cha Vishnu. And generally, at least even in Alachua temple, I remember, Lakshmi Nishina Prabhu raised a question. That was many years back. One day he was giving class that when we chant Tulasi prayers, I don't know if you ever faced it, but amongst the devotee, like, why is chanting Vishnu Bhakti? Why not Krishna Bhakti? Okay, why is chanting Krishna Bhakti? Prabhupada didn't say Krishna Bhakti, was Vishnu Bhakti. Vrindaye Tulsidevaye Priyaye Keshavasya cha Krishna Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, Prade Devi, Sattavate Namo Nama. So I know at least two devotees asked me, you know, why they chant always Vishnu Bhakti? We are not Vishnu worshipper. I said, that Vishnu who was playing the sporting pastime with the gopis in Vrindavan, Sukhdev Goswami mentioned Vishnu. What are you going to do about it? If Sukhdev Goswami did mistake, or is our understanding is mistake. Sarva Vaipnati means, Vishnu means one who is in the heart of every living being. Okay, he is in the heart of every living being. Is he in the heart of Radharani? Who is in the heart of Radharani? Who is in the heart of Brajavasi? Who is in the heart of Mother Yashoda? Krishna. That Krishna expanded to all the other manifestations. So when we say Vishnu, it is Sarva Vaipnati Iti Vishnu, period. It's very nice the way Prabhupada put it. Means one who, all pervasive means he is in the heart of every living entity, that is only Krishna. Then Krishna's expansion also known as Vishnu. That is a proper understanding. So here, the all-pervasive of God is not just in His controllership of everything. Of course, when we say omnipresence, He's everywhere, He's in the atom, in between the atom, that means He covered, nothing is bigger than Him, nobody is powerful, more powerful than Him. That's wonderful. So supersoul manifestation of Krishna being present in atoms as well as the space between the atom, that points His philosophical explanation of how God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent not just through His power and through His presence also. That point is illustrated through the point that supersoul is present in the atom and in the space between the atom. Now there is another concept. The second concept is that when Krishna is present as a supersoul within the heart, He is not present there to demonstrate or fulfill the point of His omnipresence. Then what it is? Because we consider this argument, we will say, okay, the body has so many atoms, right? In our body, there's unlimited atom almost. I mean, I don't know if anybody ever calculated or counted. So why Krishna has to say specifically He's also in the heart? Because body already has millions, I don't know what the number is, that He is in the atom, so why specifically says in the heart? So here 15:15, the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhishan Nishtha, that Krishna is there as a super soul manifestant to prove the point of His omniscience, not omnipresence. I mean, it is there omnipresent, but omniscience. Whereas supersoul manifestation present within our heart for the purpose of guiding us. If you look at those words, matta smriti, I will remind you when you need something to remember. I will give you the knowledge when you want to do something. I will remind you those desires that you did not finish yet. So He wants to guide us, He cares for us, and something that you don't want to remember, I also will close that, stop it, so you don't have to be bothered by it. All those quality is nothing but He cares. He has the affection for us, He cares for us, and He has a protection for us. That's why specifically Krishna says that He is in the heart when He is already in every atom. Now, to demonstrate this more specifically, let's see the time, that 9.4, 9.5 is the famous verse. I mean, I'm fascinated always that verse because it's confusing in the beginning. Matta maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avekta murtina matstani sarva bhutani na chaham tesha avastitam. Here Krishna first says, jagat evakta murtina, I am present in the whole world. That would indicate that He pervades everything as the super soul. But this is 9.4. But then next verse, it's just the opposite. Look at how Krishna says, na cha matstani bhutani pashyame jogam asharam Bhuta-brincha-bhuta-stu-mamatma-bhuta-bhavana. Very sweet verse. Here Krishna first says, everything is sustained by me. Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avasthitam. Everything is sustained by me, but I'm not present there. Before he said, everything rests in me. Now he said, I'm not there. It's a very conflicting opinion. Then he says, actually, everything is not sustained by me. Why? Because that key word, Pashyame Jaugam Aishwaram, behold my mystic opulence. So here Krishna is talking about his different manifestation. 9.4 Bhagavad Gita first talks about the first two lines, that is Brahman. This is the commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, very unique how he put this. That if you think of this, this is exactly this purport Prabhupada gave is nothing but just almost more explanation in a sweeter way, Prabhupada put it, of these two verses, I thought. Now, is the Paramatma present everywhere? We have statement, Andantarastha Paramano Chayantarastha. So I found this verse in 6.28. Sukhena Brahma Samprasna Attanta Sukham Ashnute. There directly says the word Brahman. He didn't say I am. He says Brahma. As a Brahman, I am everywhere. Everywhere, all pervasive, all comprehensive. Then the next verse, 6.29, very interesting. Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam Sarva Bhutani Chatmani Ikshate Yoga Juktatma Sarvatra Samadarshanaha. One who sees me present in all living beings present in me. Sarva bhutastum, bhuta does not necessarily refer to living being. Actually, it can refer to all things, matter, spirit, both. All existence or all conscious being. It can be also living being and all things, living or non-living. So Krishna is situated in everything and everything is situated in Krishna. Both are true. One who sees this, such a yogi, ikshate yoga juktatma sarvatra samadarshanaha. The person sees everything in the same way, that is Paramatma realization. So Krishna is everywhere as a Brahman. He is also everywhere as a Paramatma. And then the next verse is very fascinating also. You know how coincident, like in the morning, they send Prabhupada Bani. You know, as soon as I wake up, I see this and then I play while I'm taking shower and other. They put a little skit, very nice. And exactly same thing Prabhupada is saying. Like, wow, it's a, must be not a coincidence, but it's a Krishna's mercy. So next verse, 6.30, Jomam Pashyati Sarvatra. Sarvam cha mayi pasyati tasyaham na pranashyami shacham me na pranashyati. Now this is clearly the Bhagavan. Why? One who sees me everywhere, mam is there. Sarva bhutasto atmanam sarva bhutani cha atmani. This is referring to Paramatma manifestation and it also refers to all pervasiveness. Krishna is present everywhere. As his energy and as his controller of his energy, the super soul. This is also talked about all several places. Jo loko trayam avishya vibrati abhaya isharaha 1517 talks about this point that the pervades all material existence. There is another verse also in prayers of Kunti, that previous chapter we just finished on 41, the famous one. Ato vishyasya vishyatma vishya murti shakashume sneha pasam imam chindi dhiram pandusu vishnishu. I think Mother Madhumati gave class or someone, very glorifying. So in other words, Krishna is there as a Brahman for the impersonalist. For a yogi, he is there also in every atoms and in the heart of everyone as a controller or supreme personality figure for the yogis. And for a bhakta, he is there actually everywhere as a Bhagavan, also Brahman and Paramatma. So this is the devotee understanding. Now I'm going to go back to the first sloka, what Prabhupada... I didn't finish the purport on this. Here the purport is, Prabhupada continues, he is Paramatma. See, first he says Brahman, now Prabhupada is giving. He is Paramatma or the Super Soul, present in everyone as the Supreme Guidance. You know, it's funny, all this, the entire purport, there is a translation of the sloka. To me, it feels like from sixth chapter Bhagavad Gita, the translation he put it. Because he, Prabhupada, the whole Bhagavad Gita is in his memory, so he put it this like a sloka translation. Then Prabhupada writes, present in everyone as the Supreme Guidance. And therefore he is already the chariot driver, counsel of all living beings. When he therefore exhibit himself as a chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrate him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since he has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because he is absolute spiritual identity, there is for him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he has no false ego. So he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equivalent in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. I don't know in America whether they have some kind of not caste system, but something like people judge by your profession. I'm sure they do something. In India, it's still there. If you see a Brahman with the thread, whether he's qualified or not, but generally in the village, they immediately go like this, you know, like a respectful. And if they see some bangi, bangi means the toilet cleaner or whatever you call the sweeper, they try to like avoid that role. If the bangi is coming this way, they want to like go somewhere. It's like a common thing. Nobody's teaching nobody, but it's like a common status kind of. So chariot driver is actually low class in Vedic culture, very low class, Sudra. But Krishna chose to be a chariot driver for Arjuna because he actually relished this. I like this, a girl asked Prabhupada why Krishna has a peacock feather. Prabhupada said he is a person, he has a preference, he can wear what he whatever he likes. So then she was like not convinced so much. Then Prabhupada says, but if you want to know why he wears, then we can tell you the story. But you cannot challenge why God does this or why he wears this. He's a person, he has a preference. Like you have a preference to buy a particular color of mask, he has a different color, he has a different color. This is our personal choice. You cannot say why you wear this color, why not that color. So there is a variety. Then Prabhupada writes, it is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affection. So the previous verse, I'm sorry, I went to the second verse first. Because both verses are very important today. But anyway, it was assigned for both. So on the first verse, O King, that personality whom, out of ignorance, only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality Godhead Sri Krishna. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, brother, friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., the Pandavas was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotee, he performed all kinds of service, but that doesn't mean he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. So, grandfather Bhishma Pitamaha, he discussed Pandava's cause of suffering. Today is also almost in this verse, if you look at this, there is a three word as I mentioned in the beginning. One is called Sachivam. Sachivam means Krishna became a counselor. I don't know in America counselor is a good position or low position, but in a Vedic culture, counselor, like a Bhagavatam, is considered three-way teaching, like an instructor. Instructor is kind of like, okay, I have to follow, he's telling me to do it, I have to follow. You don't have really much choice. We are reading Prabhupada's translation, Mother Narayan, she was mentioning in Bhagavatam, it was very nice the other day. I was fascinated about it. That we always think of Sarvadharman Parityajya means surrender unto me, if you remember it. But she say, I mean she found it, was it 2416, I think. In the purport, Prabhupada translate the same verse, little difference. He said, give yourself to me. Instead of surrender to me, give yourself to me. I thought that was very fascinating how Prabhupada put that. So here is a similar, Sachivam is a counselor, Dutam, messenger, and Sarathim, charioteer. So Krishna wanted to taste these three rasa with the Pandavas. And Pandava did not know, because if they knew, then they would act different way. You follow? Then the real rasa will not manifest. So Krishna actually tasting it, this is what established by Bhishma Dev today. That Bhishma Dev, he discussed the Pandava's cause of suffering. He does not even mention, I haven't seen in this whole chapter, that Kaurava is the cause of suffering. Even I was thinking, who caused the suffering to the Pandava? Oh, come on, the lake house, he come on the poison to Bhima, it's all Pandavas, I mean Kauravas. But Bhishma Dev did not even mention. Something we can learn. When things happen, goes against my feeling or other, not to accuse the person who is the cause. This is a very important. That Bhishma Dev did not even mention the Kauravas, although it is obvious they fought against the Kauravas. They killed the Kauravas. Again, both Bhishma and Yudhishthira are deeply philosophical person, and both know the immediate cause. Both are discussing beyond the immediate cause. So wisdom means look beyond the immediate cause. You know, I was in the Raja Tire on 441, the car repair place. So I can recall, like there was one car was cranking. You know, car cranking. Like sounds going by at this time. And his name is Troy. I don't know if you all go there, but I go there. And Troy said, he needs a carburetor, new carburetor. His carburetor is finished. Now, if I was not I didn't have a car wisdom, I would think something is wrong with this guy. Why he doesn't stop the car and fix it? But because he knows not immediate cause, but beyond the immediate cause. So he immediately answered perfectly. He said he needs a new carburetor. That's why it's the sound, because he's an experienced mechanic. So similarly, Bhishma Dev says that he does not focus on the fact that Krishna was the person who instigated the shooting of arrows against him. Who did that? Bhishma Dev position lying down on the such an amount of arrows that there is no space even for ants to walk through or something like that. So how many arrows are there? But who instigated that? Krishna. But Bhishma Dev, you cannot show me one sloka he ever accused Krishna for that. That's very interesting. How great grandfather sees the things or cause of suffering. So Bhishma Dev, He does not say Krishna is the cause of his suffering, although he says ultimately everything is by the plan of the Lord. And he focuses on how Krishna is rewarding unflinching devotion. In that sense, he sees that Krishna is the cure of his suffering to help him at the time of death. Then he says, just see how he rewards the unflinching devotees. His point is not to brag an unflinching devotee. His point is to demonstrate how devotion that stays unflinching will be glorious rewarded. And he's encouraging Yudhishthira to also become unflinching devotee. So in the Kurukshetra war, Yudhishthira felt responsible. That one, what was that, 1.8.46, previous chapter, that where he was going through a depression and everybody trying to counsel, including Vyasdev, including Lord Krishna, but they failed. But then Prabhupada gave a big purport that what motivated this chapter, that all great personality, including Krishna, came to see Bhishmadev, and Bhishmadev going to speak. Next few weeks, we'll relishing nectar that he's teaching about different dharma, duty. We are born with dharma or karma? We are born with karma, not dharma. Dharma you learn from your upbringing. That's why association, the Vedic society, the Brahmachari ashram, or the system was that you learn the duty from the good association of guru and senior devotees, because you are not born with dharma. So in the Kurukshetra war, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt responsible. I was the cause of my such devastation. But we see that he was not at all devastated. Pandava went out of their way. Krishna himself went to Santiduta. Santiduta means peacemaker. If the prime minister, like for an example, I think it was Hansudut anyway, for London Temple, they wanted a, maybe somebody can correct me, they wanted a boat. Some boat or some, I forgot exactly how the election will be, who will be the next president. The Hansudut Maharaj's plan was, who will be the next president of London Temple. So then Akshananda Maharaj was there. And then Prabhupada said, if you want, you can do that, but I vote for Akshananda. I was thinking, who else going to vote against it? I don't know. But Prabhupada was such a hilarious way of saying it. But the idea is there, because we like this democratic idea. So here, what happened was not because of the Pandava, it happened in spite of the Pandava. Even Yudhishthira felt responsible, and Bhishma felt, he was telling Yudhishthira that do your duty to the Lord, even when it is difficult. Then you will see how gloriously the Lord will reward you. And for that, he is giving his own example. What do we understand about the cause of suffering in terms of concept? So if I, for an example, if I get a, like I had a malaria in Mayapur one time, and now the cause of the malaria, I'm just relating to myself, is the mosquito. Then intermediate cause is the karma. The ultimate cause is Krishna, because he sanctioned it. The mosquito to sit on my body and bite or whatever, inject the disease. So we can see another example of Matsavatar. When Satyavrata Muni arranged this boat to go with the fish incarnation, and their dialogue was, how to understand the duty of each individual and how the result is produced. So one example Matsavatar gave, he said there is a one farmer who thought, I'm going to plow the field and sow the seed. But plowing the field and sowing the seed is not enough. There has to be rain. But that year there is no rain. So he didn't get, and he's upset, he's angry against God, against his own whatever misfortune or something, bad karma. The next year, he said, I'm not going to do anything. It's too much work and there was nothing. But there was a beautiful rain. Then he hated it. Ah, why didn't I do it? Now I'm suffering again. So on the third year, he did, and rain was there, and he was happy. So this is a terminology. So we could say something is the cause or a factor, but that is not what is responsible. Just like there are terms and concepts. Concepts are like the suitcase, and terms are like a handles for the concept. Sometimes we start fighting over terms, but need to move beyond to the concept of suitcase. So the concept is that whatever happens, Krishna has a role in it. Krishna is not the case of it. Sorry, Krishna is not the cause of it. It is not that Krishna who wants us to suffer. An example discussed about how a thief who was robbed is put in jail. Just imagine, and his name is Jiva. And Jiva is the thief, and there was a police officer called Mayadevi. And the judge was Jagadish, honorable judge. So in this scenario, we can see that honorable judge Jagadish sentence, and Jagadhatri or Mayadevi execute the sentence, and Jiva goes into jail. Similar way, Krishna is the judge and material nature is that police officer, and living entity, those who are rebellious, they are acting, reacting on their own karma. And Krishna allows it to happen. But Krishna is not the cause of it. So when we understand that Krishna is not the cause of my own suffering or Yudhishthira Maharaj's suffering, then we can avoid resentment. And that is 100% required to purify our heart. And when we understand that Krishna is the cure, we wholeheartedly take shelter of him. It's 8:48. I was going to give a little synopsis in 5 minutes that how this actually, because today PowerPoint is also, it's actually conclusion of, I'm just going to go very quick. I wrote it down very quickly. That who is the cause of the Pandava's suffering? We already discussed about it, but just to give a short break it, that Bhishma Dev spoke first to Yudhishthira Maharaj, maybe the karma. What is the cause of suffering? The karma. And then King Yudhishthira says the prarabdha karma is the suffering. Then Bhishma Dev, it's not only they are two speaking, there are other rishis like Dhamma Rishi, they are also very exalted sages. They also intervene in the discussion. So he said, no, prarabdha karma cannot be with the eternal associate, their eternal associate. Prarabdha karma is not there. Then Bhishma Dev says, so what else is there? Then they cause that maybe the dharma, the duty. So then he says, no, he's the son of dharma. How can he never did an irreligious activity? So that's not also, so karma is not there, dharma is not there. Then what else could be the cause? And I had the sloka to back up all this. Very, very nice, but in a time short. Then possible the time. Then 3.25.38, Kapil Dev says, the time has no effect on the associate of the devotees. So it cannot be by the time. But it appears the time is. For Karmi, yes, but not for the Pandavas. Then what is the cause? So then Bhishma Dev says, it is the plan that Lord has. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj says, what is Lord's plan? Who knows and how to know? Then Bhishma Dev at Shesha Prabhu very nicely, elaborately explained that philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered, including Brahma, Shiva and everybody else. Nobody knows the plan of God. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, why it is difficult? He's standing right here, ask him. I mean, Krishna is standing near the feet of Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev is lying down there, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is on this side. Krishna is right straight, and all the Pandavas, and thousands of other great sages. So why not ask Krishna? Would you do that if Krishna is there? He said, yeah, my Lord, why are you suffering? It's a common thing. The guess what the answer is. He said, don't ask him. Because, didn't you notice, when he came, first thing he did, he put me into illusion. He said, Grandfather Bhishma Dev, you know everything. We are grandchildren, we don't know anything. Everything that I know or I'm speaking is coming from him. And he is permitting for me to speak, and he put himself like he doesn't know. He just wants to be one of us, family men. And he wants to enjoy that accompany. So even if we ask him, you will never get the perfect answer. So why saying no one knows his plan? Since you can ask him, Bhishma Dev says, do not ever plan to ask. But you can see what and how he acting. What he is speaking and how he acts. Then you can assume, oh, okay, this is what he wants. This is how he wants. So then I'm coming to this conclusion that he wanted to enjoy this rasa, to become a messenger. He enjoyed it. This is his enjoyment, that he became between the two parties as a peacemaker. But what Bhishma Dev also said, what a very nice, he says, what Duryodhan did wrong, that he did not like the plan what Krishna has. Give five village, you know, that beautiful discussion. But Duryodhan, okay, even if he didn't like, but he should not have neglected Krishna. See, when messenger come, if messenger is very powerful, bigger than the messages, then you should at least respect the person and ask him, what is your opinion? So Drona, Duryodhan and the Kauravas, that's what the mistake they did. They never, even at the end, because of the time I'm going to add this, that Krishna even asked one time to Duryodhan, he said, you ever wondered my position? Then Krishna says, Duryodhan says, if you are God, why you are always, see, the way he asked, if is the, it's like he doesn't have faith, even though he saw universal form, he saw with his brother universal form in the court, that they failed to capture Krishna's lotus feet. There's a beautiful pastime is there. He heard Krishna's position, he saw disrobing of Draupadi, how much unlimited sari came. How many evidence you need to accept Krishna as a God? How much? We hear Bhagavad Gita, why can't we accept 100%? That is the question. So Duryodhan, he values the world, he thinks the world has no value, the God has no value without the world. And Arjuna, just the opposite. He thinks the world has no value without Krishna. This too is always there in this world. It depends which side or how much proportion we are in that. So at that time when Duryodhan asked, why you are favoring, then Krishna gave him a list of 17 things that what he did, that it is only for his benefit, Duryodhan. But he never accepted. Never accepted. How can you blame Krishna? So then Krishna quoted this verse, Marto jadatekta samasta karma nivedito atma vichiki shityome. These Pandavas, they have dedicated for me. They tolerate all this abuse that you did just for me. So they are the rightful owner to rule this world, because this world is mine. Krishna disclosed this. He's in the 11th canto. I'll end here. We have any minute left? Yeah, 5 minutes. Any comment, question, correction? Yes, Mother Sri Devi.
Thank you. I was wondering, what is the relationship between, you broke down the immediate, intermediate, and ultimate cause. What is the relationship of that to free will?
18th chapter, text 14. Krishna says, Adhisthana tathagartha karanam cha pithaka vidam. Vividascha pitaka chesta daivamiti panchamam. Krishna says, in everything we see, we should see 5 factors. And if in the next verse he said, if you don't see with this, that means you are not intelligent. He's told to Arjuna. So free will means, on the 5 factors, I give an example, or maybe I don't need to give an example. You know 5 factors. It's like you're shaping a piece of wood. This is my way of understanding. So I take my hand, hold the hammer, take the chisel and hit it. Now, if somebody say, who shaped this piece of wood? My hand may say, yeah, that's me. The hammer will say, no, it was me who did the job. Chisel said, no, your hammering would not work if I was not there. So it was me who did it. So individually we can all claim, but actually it is collective. So I found the word called contingent doer. Contingent doer means we all have a part in it. I desire, but that doesn't mean things are happening. Material nature has to provide, but Krishna has to sanction. So all these 5 factors together. Free will means, in this case, I am a product of my own decision, and I have a free choice, or I have a free will to choose what I want. The rest, whether I'm qualified or not, it's not up to me. Material nature will arrange it. It makes sense?
Yes, thank you. So it seems like according to whatever choice you make, these three, or at least 2 of the 3, adjust.
Yes, yes.
So that everything is sort of perfect in the end.
Yes. I like the way Prabhupada put this. If we can somehow or other align with Krishna's plan, but Krishna's plan doesn't mean Krishna directly speaking, it could be some devotee speaking, Krishna speaking through the devotee. It could be some devotee I don't like. Krishna could be speaking through him for my own benefit. So if I can just take it back, at least I'm trying to practice that. Take it back and think, okay, the devotee has said something, I don't like it, but maybe there is something I need to adjust. Like I give an example. Somebody says, when someone sings, you are not there, and immediately that devotee is reacting, like, wow, I'm busy, but when you sing, you want everybody to be here. So then I was listening to the conversation between these two devotees, and I'm thinking, like, it's probably possible that Krishna is actually speaking through that devotee to him for his own benefit, but he cannot take it. He doesn't want to take it, and then he's going to suffer, and he does suffer. It came back after 2 years again, other day. And I was thinking, like, wow, this is phenomenal. Like, if he takes it, oh, I'm sorry, did I bother? He said, yeah, when I sing, you don't come. And when you sing, you want me to be there. What kind of logic is that? You know what I mean? So, but he doesn't have a capability to go introspectively that, okay, maybe I need to correct here. my attitude that I should also pay attention when somebody wants me to be there. It is for my own good. I think I do that. So something like that.
So that's the free will.
Yes.
I can choose how to take that.
Yeah.
And I can correct myself, or I can get bitter, and then more other things will happen that will correct me in other ways.
Yes. Also, tolerance, I think, is like a patience. Tolerance, another meaning also, patience in a sense. No need to reactive, because reactive is like a rajagun, always ends something. I give you a good example. I cannot say the name of that devotee. It's in LA, Los Angeles. It's a true story recently. So this new bhakta came, and senior bhakta also in the same room with a 2-3 bunk bed, you know. So every time the new bhakta goes to the bathroom and comes back, has a wet hand. It doesn't dry, and the doorknob has always wet. I don't know, maybe it's not a big deal, but if you are in a cold weather and you're just touching that doorknob with the wet, it's like, I don't know, it's like, you know, some uncomfortable feeling. So anyway, senior devotee told him that, can you just wipe it before, or wipe your hand before you touch it? And some or other, the devotee is not listening, or it's not going in him, or whatever it is, that it's going on. So senior devotee thought, there must be something is wrong within me, but I dry my hand, everything is fine, why? I don't see anything. So one day, he wakes up Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and when he's doing the Achman, he has a wet hand and he's touching Krishna's body, not to take him. And then all of a sudden, awkward, oh my God, it's cold. And I'm touching with the wet hand. And I'm accusing that devotee. You know, just the whole thing reflected. And he felt so regret and he apologized to the Lord. Generally in the altar, you don't do that obeisances because it's like some rules is there. But he forgot about the rules regulation. He just cried and paid obeisance and said, my Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry, you were giving indication through the new bhakta, but it was not a favorable way. It was a kind of like a, you understand what I'm trying to say. So then he comes and he told the new bhakta, he didn't say the story to him, told the story, he said, it's okay, don't worry. And then he noticed from next day there was no wet in the doorknob. So I learned that, okay, so many things in life may happen, I may not like it. That doesn't mean that I have to be against or resentment, you know, grudge against that person who is causing this. Because in my life, I felt like, you know, for some devotee, I felt like they were causing me disturbance. And it was very nice, Mother Mantrini, she told me, just tolerate, pray for them. It was the best advice anybody could give me a few years back. And I didn't like it, but I did. For a days, I prayed for them and prayed for me that to have that power to have a tolerance and patience. And it really works. So nice. It works. Thank you for asking me such a nice question. I have something from Mother Ragatulka. Doesn't Krishna tell Arjuna in 16th chapter that he was born with divine qualities, or in other words, dharma? Dharma means action, application of the knowledge. Somebody has some quality doesn't mean it is going to manifest unless he wants to act. She wants to act like this. Like, you know, I know something good, that doesn't mean I'm good. I have to act on that. Then, so duty means you act on it. So are not some devotee born with both karma and dharma? No, they may have a good quality, but they have to act on it. Dharma learned from last life. Dharma, yeah, those are impression. Impression means you are carrying the karma. And then you have to act on it, then it will be dharma, in that regards. But that can be also applied. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari.